Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. I'd like you to know that I'm very thankful for you, dear listener, for downloading this episode and doing your part to help keep the lights on at Stoop Kids Studios. That's what we're called. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's definitely Thanksgiving right now. So, so grateful for all of you, thankful for my friends and everything, et cetera, et cetera. I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Yeah, I'm thankful that today is the Thanksgiving right now, happening right now, and I'm thankful for the fellas and Stoop Kids and the listeners. So I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod.
Harry Potter, the boy who lived, come to spell Stoop Kids with a Z.
I can't do it quite right. Also with us today on mic is our favorite turkey and super producer, Jason Daphnis. Jason, how the heck are you today?
I'm feeling thankful for this noisemaker I have in the background. It's birds chirping, people walking by, bikes, etc. It's just a mood setter for this time in November when Thanksgiving usually lasts. That's not actual sound, that truck that you hear passing by. Not real sound in the real world, because this is, of course, Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for this podcast and for the three people I get to talk about Harry Arnold with.
I could not have said it better if I were named Jason Daphnis. It's great having you here on mic, Jason. We are here today to talk about episode 56 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that's season 3, episode 16, going by production code order. If you couldn't have guessed it already, this episode is called Arnold's Thanksgiving. Original air date, November 23rd, 1998. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows, and I feel like this is easily the longest Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary we've had up to this point, so strap in. I'm saying that mostly to myself, but also for anybody who might be listening. Arnold and Helga are sick of their family's Thanksgiving traditions. Arnold's grandma confuses Thanksgiving with 4th of July and vice versa, so his Thanksgiving meal consists of hot dogs and watching fireworks. When the others will not help him convince Gertie otherwise, he leaves. Helga is upset that her family ignores her, even on Thanksgiving, with Olga forcing everyone to help with the meal and taking all the credit. Miriam ignores Helga's handmade centerpiece in favor of Olga's, and Big Bob just wants to watch the football game, all 14 hours of the big game. Helga leaves when her family puts her down for having nothing to be thankful for. Arnold and Helga meet and go to Mr. Simmons's, only to realize that, compared to Thanksgiving with his family, theirs are not so bad after all. Arnold returns to a turkey and fireworks. That is correct. And Helga returns to a frantic family who are on the phone with the police and making flyers to find her. And as we always do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Larry Leeklighter directed this one, and writing credits, this is, I mean, it's a contender for like a Mount Rushmore of Hey Arnold writers and staff. We've got Craig Bartlett, Joseph Purdy, Antoinette Stella, and Steve Vixton. A pretty strong foursome, I think. And we've got a pretty strong foursome here on the episode today. So let's get cracking, starting with Emily. Emily, what did you think about this Thanksgiving episode? Quote unquote Thanksgiving episode.
Quote unquote. Yeah, oh my gosh, this is an excellent holiday special. I think this one is right there with the Christmas episode. It's so great across the board, so emotional. It deals with like very real problems and the difficulty of having like family issues and having, you know, a challenging, stressful holiday with your family. But yeah, I want to first back up and say, so I don't think I've actually seen this as a kid. And it wasn't until this past Thanksgiving when I was at the DeMuth family house. So Ellie DeMuth, our a former guest, and my cousin, and Adam, my other cousin, and Becky and Jeff, my aunt and uncle, like took me under their wing and let me crash their family Thanksgiving. And we all took turns like choosing a special episode of a TV show that was Thanksgiving like themed. And so one of the ones we watched, of course, was Arnold's Thanksgiving. So seeing it with them in that context, and it was just like such a great time hanging with them. And like, I hadn't seen the episode before, so it was like very special. And I didn't realize how, just baked into the realism that this is. Like, just there's a lot happening. And I also didn't know that it was such a big episode for Arnold and Helga to like really connect, really bond, and kind of see each other's families in a different way. And just like they're relating to each other in a very personal way. And having this like whole day of like walking with the melancholy music on the overcast day at the dock and just being like, wow, this has been so stressful and hard for all of these reasons. Arnold's family is, because Graham is confused over what holiday it is and thinks it's the 4th of July. So there's all of that going on at the boarding house. And then Helga's family are a bunch of Patakis. So you have just a ton of stress happening with them, and food is burning and Big Bob's yelling about football. And so you see, it's nice to see Arnold and Helga come together in that way and just, yeah, walk along the city streets and think about like, man, like, I guess we kind of have this in common. And this is something that, you know, they think about differently by the time they're at Simmons' house. So they just also so strange that they decide to go to their teacher's house on Thanksgiving, but how like stressed out they are about the holiday. They leave their family gatherings to do that. We see Mr. Simmons, who his school play at the beginning was clearly like him trying to feel what it would feel like to have this perfect quote unquote family gathering. And you see that that's not the case in his real life. It's very much everyone's getting on each other's nerves and yelling. And, you know, it's just not a peaceful and kind and happy family gathering. So they see that. And I think one of my favorite parts of the whole episode is when Arnold and Helga, like, take each other to the kitchen in Mr. Simmons' house and they have that big back and forth conversation, which I, like, wrote down all of it because I love their lines and I love the way they read those. Both of them are, I really like that scene especially, but they basically kind of spell out that this episode is like all about, you know, maybe it's not so bad to like have, you know, a weirder family situation, or maybe we can just like feel grateful and accept the things that, you know, we can't change. Grandma thinks it's the 4th of July. The Patakis are the Patakis, and you can't change that. And they kind of reach this conclusion. And then you see Arnold walks Helga back to her home and watches in the window. And just like the Christmas episode is like, happy Thanksgiving, Helga, which did make me tear up because that, yeah, just the Christmas episode too in those moments is so sweet and emotional. And then, yeah, reaches this kind of weirder conclusion, I guess, just with like, It wraps it up all very nicely, like as if Helga's family, instead of screaming at her for leaving, is just going, yeah, we missed you so much. We made flyers, all of this. And Arnold's grandpa's set up like a surprise party on the roof of the boarding house. So I don't know that any of that seems more realistic with the whole episode, but it's kind of like a trying to wrap this up in a way that's like, I don't know, your family is your family and you wouldn't want to change your own issues for someone else's. And Thanksgiving's a weird holiday anyway and stressful for a lot of people though. So it's really good, I think, and well written in the sense of like showing kids that like they get it and they know that's probably a difficult holiday for a lot of kids. But yeah, I think it's a fantastic episode. Sorry I went off for like 100 years about it. It's a really good one.
I would argue this episode is worth talking about for 100 years or even more. And no lies were spoken. I appreciate that breakdown a ton, Emily. And we'll pivot now to Harry. Harry, gobble gobble, to you. Turkey stuff. What'd you think of this episode?
Gobble gobble to you as well, Cody. Thank you for that. And thank you, Emily. That was really well characterized, and I really appreciate that you went first because you really like laid out all of the bullet points that I want to talk about, right? So sort of like working my way backwards, I think that the thing that you just ended on is my primary issue with this episode. I just wish that this episode had the strength of its convictions to really commit to what I believe the overall theme of the episode was supposed to be. I almost wonder if that's the writers sort of like rubbing up against the limits of what they can get away with for like a children's show. Because in contrast, right, like, in my mind, like the first half of this episode is like, I think the most mask off that Hey Arnold has ever been in terms of like a direct confrontation with the themes of what the show is about, particularly as it regards childhood disillusionment as you come of age and start to understand that the world is not fair, that your life hasn't been fair and could be different and should be different if anything was sort of the way it was supposed to be. Also, I think that this episode does Thanksgiving specifically really perfectly because, and maybe this is a hot take, I think Thanksgiving's a bad holiday, right? Like it is. It just like, it is founded on a really gross, jingoistic, like, stupid mythology that is not actually true to life and that is actively harmful to reality. And even beyond that, or even in addition to that, I've always found that it is a very formalist holiday. It's a very pressuring holiday. I never feel especially close to my family, sort of ironically, on Thanksgiving, just because I feel so much pressure to normalize that relationship, right? And when you fit into those molds, those sort of very nuclear heteronormative roles that your family has, there's something very depersonalizing about it, right? Like I have a really good relationship with my family, but then when things like Thanksgiving or birthdays come around, it all of a sudden feels awkward in a way it wouldn't normally if I was just having dinner with my dad, say. And I really like that this episode gets there, right? Because all of these characters, they're not just chafing at the fact that their lives are not quote unquote normal or that they can't have a usual Thanksgiving. It's specifically because they are being confronted with this holiday that is normalizing, right? Like the fact that Arnold all of a sudden has to confront that he doesn't have a traditional family, even though that doesn't really bother him or he even understands that his family is maybe better than normal under most circumstances. Or similarly with Helga, right? It's like normally Helga is able to sort of like deal with the fact that her family is that dysfunctional. But here she just can't really deal with it. And I really love that. I especially love the framing device between Simmons, right? Where we even get to see that like the great disillusionment in this episode is that even the person who is sort of broadcasting this mythology of the regular family, he can't pull it off either. In fact, his is even worse and more broken than theirs is. And that's why he cleaves to that myth as closely as he does. And there's such a like brutal disillusionment there, right? Like the overarching implication is that nobody has that myth. That myth was only ever in place in order to make us feel pressured in this way. And in order to make people like Arnold and Helga and Mr. Simmons, all of whom are people who are on the outside of like a normative culture, right? Like Arnold and Helga's relationship is defined in this episode as being people who are incapable of having what other kids have because of the way that their family is structured. And this is also the most explicitly queer that Simmons has ever been, right? Like straight up, his whole family is like homophobic and he has to hide who he is from them. And like that is very textual in this episode in a way that is remarkable for 1998 or whenever this movie or whenever this episode came out. And so in order to do that, to come right up against this point that like part of growing up is about learning that life isn't fair and that you will never have the thing that you are perhaps supposed to be have or that you were sold as having the right to. And that's okay. And in fact, that can make you more, both more empathetic toward other people, and it can give you the ability to appreciate what you do have even more, right? So I really love all that. I think that this episode does an amazing job of getting to sort of the 90th yard line, so to speak, sports metaphors for you, Cody. In my mind, it sort of botches it because Helga's family is like super out of character in ways that are not even like, that don't even make sense. It's all right, Cody. I don't really care about the yard line, to be honest. It was just a metaphor I wanted to do for you, bud, because I'm being thankful for you. And even Arnold's family works a little bit better, but they do a really weird thing where like grandma's dementia is cured, which is something that is not great. Like it should have been, not to play backseat director, but like she should have just still been into 4th of July and Arnold should have been okay with it. And the Pataggis should have been pretty rough and bad still, but Helga should have just been okay with it, right? I think that's where the episode was going, and I can feel them backing away from it because of how stark this episode would be. And I mean, it is, right? Like, I think I watched this episode as a kid, and I remember being sort of shocked by it. Sort of like, but this is Thanksgiving. I'm supposed to be happy. And like, this is not an episode that makes you feel happy. It's an episode that is very tough to deal with, until it's not. So now, being a heartless adult looking back, I wish that it had been as stark and brutal as it always was. But still, ultimately, I think it's a really good episode, and I think it's a really important Thanksgiving episode. So I'm really, I guess, grateful for it. There you go. But I want to hear what our guest has to say as well. And Cody, of course. Mostly our guest, but a little bit Cody.
No, I agree. Mostly our guest. And I just want to pop in and say, Harry, I'm thankful for the sports shout-outs. What I said in the group chat for the episode was, I believe one could say the 10-yard line, but also football is not my strong suit. So, hey, we don't do calls for, you know, socials, shout-outs, all that often.
You're also eating a bunch of spicy beans while I was talking, which I appreciate.
We don't have to talk about that quite yet. But comment on the episode below, Twitter, Instagram. Let me know if we have that wrong. We're not a football podcast. We're a podcast produced by Jason Daphnis, who is here chomping at the bit.
Chomping is ironic because it basically means chomping, but it is chomping.
Right.
Championing at the bit.
We're championing our guest. We're a little unhinged. It's the weekend. Spoilers.
It's Thanksgiving Day,
Cody. Sure.
Okay. I won't pull back the curtain. I'll say chomping at the bit because it is Thanksgiving canonically today as we're recording. Jason, what'd you think of this episode?
I have to get it out. You are not a football podcast, but you are a football head podcast, and it is champing. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, God. Everybody. Yeah, I appreciate it. No, I
think I've had this conversation with Jason before, and he's very like, he's a staunch advocate for champing.
I'm a champion is what I am. So in watching this episode of the show, and this isn't one that I remember watching as a kid, I may well have, but it may have just flown right by me. Continuing that, for the last episode that I was actually on, I remember bringing up the fact that like the magic of Hey Arnold is in its ability to like humanize stock cartoon situations and scenarios. And I'm going to look at the other screen a lot because I have my notes up there, but apologies. I'm not ignoring you. It's for the benefit of the listener that they can imagine how I'm doing.
You could eat while you're doing this.
No, but I have a couple of earplugs from the last time I went to a show at First Ave.
Those are like beans. They're beans.
They're the same size. In a worse show, that humanization would like lean very close to cynicism, and sort of like spite and like, I don't know, punching down a lot at scenarios that kids would actually really find themselves in. And I think that's one of the things that the show Hey Arnold itself is like, should be proud of, is its ability to connect with kids about real life scenarios that they might be facing. And, you know, I remember from you guys' talk with Craig Bartlett, that's one of their explicit like mission statements with the show. So like the fact that this episode doesn't lampoon the institution of Thanksgiving, which I'm not sure, maybe statistically for the North American audience, a lot of kids would be celebrating some version of at the time of this release. It doesn't lampoon that as like a time and place to come together with the people you love, but just to like the things that we've normalized around it, like Harry was saying, like a very formalized type scenario of like, you've got to have turkey and sides and stuffing and a play and family and, you know, saying what you're thankful for. And all those things do feel like a performance, and they literally are for Mr. Simmons, right? Like they get through that initial photo op, and then they're all at each other's throats, which, while a very sad and very like morose scene, very funny scripting in that scene, particularly where I forget who says, like, I didn't know, I forget what they were saying in response to, but like, I didn't know that about somebody's life event. And one of the other guys is like, there's a lot you don't know. And it's just so like weirdly sassy. Anyway, but that scene alone is like, I think it's just like that scene is, and listening to you guys talk more and more about sort of where this episode ends up. And I think I'm in the same boat of as far as like, it doesn't end as explicitly or as strongly as I would have liked. It sort of does pull back a little bit, pull its punch somewhat. But then when I think about where that scene leaves us, and maybe I'm going too much into discussion and way far off of my actual intro points, but where that scene leaves us is with Helga and Arnold sort of coming to this mutual realization with Mr. Simmons, where he says, I know it's not perfect. It's not like what I want, but it is what I have. Therefore, it is now what I want. You know, like I've just normalized this whole thing as my Thanksgiving. And the kids don't say like, that's really nice. Or, you know, yeah, we'll be really thankful for what we got. They're like, I gotta go. And they leave with this really sad realization that it doesn't get better for some people, that it doesn't like that nothing gets fixed for Mr. Simmons over time, like that he is acting out this fantasy of his perfect Thanksgiving through his work because his home life is not such that, you know, wouldn't support that. That to me is like the mood that that leaves us with is where the episode sort of ends for me emotionally, because I think that's really, that's pretty messy. That's pretty ambiguous. That's pretty ambivalent. I'm not sure exactly how to feel about that. And that again, like is sort of in that stew of what I love about Hey Arnold, where it doesn't need a clean ending to be really impactful. It needs like sort of that ambiguity to really like make a statement about the thing that it's saying. And then they come back home, of course, and they both find what they were waiting for. It's sort of like a wait and see, be rewarded with your patience kind of ending, where you know, Big Bob and Miriam and Olga are, you know, literally scouring the ends of the earth to find Helga because she's left home. Everybody's waiting with a surprise party for Arnold on the roof. And it's finally a Thanksgiving dinner, but with fireworks. I feel like that does make that a little bit more, I don't think it makes the rest of the episode before that sound any more like mealy-mouthed or any less genuine, but it just feels like a tacked on version of something that we could have ended a little bit sooner. Maybe just like with the walk home, where they've now realized, okay, so this paragon of what we thought was going to be the perfect Thanksgiving is literally like just a shell of that. And maybe ours is too. Maybe ours, like the important parts, are not what we're focusing on. Maybe the things that we've assigned to being the perfect Thanksgiving aren't necessarily signifiers of that. There's a lot of fun parallels with the settler colonialist myth going on throughout the episode that I want to touch on. But I feel like I've talked for just about long enough before Cody can share his thoughts.
No, not at all. I've loved what all of y'all have had to say. There's been quite a bit of bean commentary, so I just want to clarify exactly what happened. We started the episode. I don't know if you can tell from my voice, I'm a little hoarse. I'm getting over a little bit of non-COVID sickness, and these spicy jelly beans that I've happened upon through mystical, mysterious circumstances have helped with like the decongestion. And I noticed as I was reading that very extensive plot summary that, ooh, I'm having a little trouble right now. I should have, and I spun a wheel and landed on habanero. And so that's what's been going on.
We love this.
Is this how you tell us that you're getting into holistic medicine, is that you're just going to eat Jelly Belly spicy beans to cure every ailment?
That's
treat yourself.
Part of it.
It's Thanksgiving after all.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you. And exactly. That's, and that was going to be my other thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Shout out to Peanuts Thanksgiving, where they do eat jelly beans and popcorn, and it looks great if you're a kid and you think candy looks good on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Peanuts pod win.
Oh, God. Hey, stay tuned. You never know. The answer is never a firm no with us. We'll do pretty much anything, but
if we had a Peanuts podcast, we would call it the Peanut Gallery. That's all I got.
Thank you. This has been Stoop Kids. Thank you so much for listening today. No, and the other part of it, you know, watching this vaguely Thanksgiving themed episode, I felt like I needed to eat something to get in the holiday spirit, because kind of like Emily, I wasn't convinced that I had seen this episode. Before this, I didn't have a great memory of it. And I kind of usually with episodes where my memory is a little fuzzy, I watch it and eventually something happens where it kicks in like, oh yeah, I do remember this episode. And everything just kind of falls back into place. And that didn't really happen with this episode. So I'm chalking this up to, this is my first time in conscious memory that I had seen it. And, you know, watching, I would have loved to have had the perspective of watching this episode as a child. Just, you know, obviously the construct of Thanksgiving is very important to how someone like, you know, any of us would perceive this episode. One thing that I was grappling onto early, and we sort of gestured at it in the group chat when we were watching, of just like, you know, Arnold's being kind of a little snot. And I just like trying to rationalize, and I had to put myself back into the frame of mind, of like me as a kid, and this, that sort of, flimsy childhood desire to not necessarily like quote unquote be normal, but like not stand out in a negative way. And I was wondering when the episode would get to that. And it was, you know, when Harold comes to the front door and sees Arnold doing something, like kind of against type for the holiday. And that being the sort of, okay, this is the straw that broke Arnold's back. He's got to up and get out of here. And I mean, meanwhile, me in the back of my adult mind watching this episode, like an excuse to eat hot dogs in November, sign me up. Like I could not care less what the event is, if it's Thanksgiving or anything else. And you know, I kind of think about, you know, what Thanksgiving means to me now as a grown up. It means home cooked meals, and it means having people to like play a few specific card games with back home. And those are two things that I cannot get otherwise. And so the sort of having a link back to my childhood self watching this episode, I would have loved to have known what he felt about it. How you feel about this episode, of course, you know, likely depends on how much you buy into the poking holes in the mythos of Thanksgiving, which I do, though, like it's been said by pretty much everybody, it does pull kind of the Batman 2022, and you know, does it, you know, kind of walks it back in the third act somewhat. Which,
what a timely reference! My goodness.
Yeah, I'm full of those too. Sometimes that we reference Paul Schrader films. Sometimes we reference the Batman.
The Batman is kind of a Paul Schrader film, to be fair.
You're on the wrong podcast, guys.
The only other thing, Emily first noted the sort of time that we get with Arnold and Helga together in this episode. I really love those scenes, and not just because I'm a fan of like balmy 50 degree overcast, like light jacket weather as they're walking around in, but you get honestly some of the line readings that have stuck out to me the most, at least in recent memory. When Helga has her bit where she's, you know, "Where's Thanksgiving? I don't see it." It's the most like dialed back that we get Francesca Marie Smith voicing Helga really in the series up to this point. And it was just, both of them are in great voice as they always are. Some of those, I mean, you really have to, much like the Christmas episode, which, you know, great readings in that, Emily mentioned that as well. The nice little parallel of the Merry Christmas Arnold, great readings all around, specifically in those scenes, which I liked a lot. And I liked this episode a lot. And something tells me I'm going to like hearing us talk about it a lot. Jason, what do you think about those things that I just said? Or did you just eat a spicy jelly bean and you've come to talk about that?
I've just eaten a turkey-flavored spicy jelly bean. It's Thanksgiving and I'm in
spicy
pain.
Spicy turkey. Oh, no.
Spicy turkey. excuse me. I wanted to comment a little bit on, because Emily brought it up and I then made a bunch of notes because it got my thoughts going about the relationship between Helga and Arnold in this episode. For some reason, I didn't assign a whole lot of importance to it while watching it. But then in retrospect, and with Emily's thoughts about like where they are and where they sort of how they come together and how it's like meaningful interaction between them, for one of the few times that we'll see that we've seen yet in the show, it got me thinking about how like individually, like they both are jealous of what the other wants out of, or what the other has in Thanksgiving. Arnold is jealous of Helga's Thanksgiving because it looks like a Thanksgiving, because there's, you know, cooked turkey, and because the family's around the table, and because, you know, Big Bob is watching football and apparently farting
a
lot.
They're parents to begin with.
Right. Great point. There's like a traditional family structure there, which Arnold doesn't have and hasn't really had. excuse me. Helga is jealous of Arnold's Thanksgiving because at least they find meaning in all of Grandma's nonsense. You get the sense that, like, yeah, they're a little bit belabored of it. Like, they're kind of tired of the whole bit, but they accept that it's a bit, and like, they accept that it's their time together, right? That they're going to get to eat, they're going to get to talk. They dress up at everything. Mr. Nguyen looking like the biggest G in the world as a Vietnamese Mr. Sam. God, he just looks so good in that costume. Uncle Sam, sorry, Mr. Sam. But like,
they call me Mr. Sam.
The magic, like what those both lead to, I think is the important part for me. And that is like that they're united by their assumption that the grass is greener on Mr. Simmons' side of the fence. When they get there, they see that like they see these traditional setups of what makes a good Thanksgiving. And then, of course, it comes crumbling down and they have that great scene in the kitchen, which it's weird to say scene. I'm used to talking about movies where like a scene would be 3 to 5 minutes. And in this, it's like that's probably 25 seconds that whole sequence plays out. And they just have like this really heavy, meaningful moment in there. I'm like in love with that moment where he says like, this isn't the Thanksgiving that I, you know, envisioned. This isn't my perfect version, but it is now the version that I want. I know I said this in my up top, but like just the stark, like really almost depressing reality of that. Like he's an adult and he hasn't been able to get the thing. He hasn't been able to thread the balance that Arnold and Helga, fourth graders, fifth graders have wanted for, you know, however long, right? He's wanted this for multiples of years compared to what they've wanted, and he still hasn't been able to make it happen. And that tells me like maybe that doesn't really exist for most people, if any people. I'm musing now. I should give up the mic to somebody else.
I really liked where we got with this, because this sort of ties into also the performative aspect of Thanksgiving that I mentioned a little bit, and the sort of relationship that this episode has with Thanksgiving itself as a mythology and an institution. There's something really profound that this episode is working with. And like I said, I don't know that it fully like gets there, but the ways in which it doesn't get there for me are also really important to what it wants to do for kids. But basically, like and it's hard to argue that this isn't fully textual, which is an amazing thing to do because it is sort of so advanced for especially a kids show. But like, I think that this episode makes a really good point about how the institutions themselves are harmful, right? Like that it's the performance itself. It's the fact that Simmons wants it so badly because he's been trained to want it so badly. It's the fact that Arnold wants it so badly because he sees other kids having it, and because culturally he's been trained to understand that as something good and important and meaningful, even though he has something that is arguably more meaningful than what Helga has, right? Or not even arguably, right? Like, as you pointed out, Jason, like, Helga is jealous of Arnold's Thanksgiving because even though it does not have the institutional trappings that hers does, it is actually meaningful. Those people actually love and care about one another in a way that Helga's family does not. And I really love that, like, this episode makes a really good point that the tensions that arise from this dysfunction, they are born of not only the dysfunction itself, but also that pressure to be something other than what you are, which, like, especially when you consider Simmons at the heart of it as a closeted gay man in this episode, like, that pressure to perform as something that he is not is rendered large and made metaphorical across all of these people's journeys, right? And it becomes sort of like, oh, like, we're not just thinking about the fact that, like, you don't have this and you should. It's also like the fact that someone out there is making you feel like you should have this, or that in order to be valid or be real, you have to have that, is itself a problem, right? Like, the Mayflower deserves to be sinking in that way. And there's something really profound there. Like I said, I think that it backs away from that, but I even think that like the ways in which it backs away from that are important for the episode and for the show in general, right? Because I think that particularly as a kid, the reason why coming to be disillusioned with institutions like that, like the nuclear family, like holidays, like the infallibility of your parents. The reason why that seems so scary is because it seems to take everything else that is important to you along with it. It's like, well, but wait a minute. If this is a lie, right? Like if my religion doesn't actually stand for what I think it stands for, or if my parents aren't actually infallible in the way I thought they were, maybe that also invalidates the love that I have, or my own identity, or the relationships that I have. I think it's really important that this episode says it doesn't, right? Like it's saying, even in the absence of the sort of ideal that you've been taught is the right thing, it doesn't mean that the things that you have are not meaningful. They can still be meaningful. It's just, it's almost up to you to make them meaningful the way Simmons does, and the way that ultimately Arnold and Arnold's family does, and even Helga and Helga's family. So that is maybe like, it's a reckoning that is softer than the one that I sort of want to have, being sort of like this, you know, angry adult that's looking back at this now. But I think it's probably the right thing for kids here. So it's hard to fault it too much, I guess. But how do you feel about it, Emily?
Yeah, I wanted to back up, I guess, a lot on Simmons and stuff and his family. So we're just seeing that scene we've talked about a little bit. So Peter in that scene is clearly like Mr. Simmons' partner or boyfriend or something. They just like nod to it. And I think it's one either Peter's mom or Mr. Simmons' mom, but probably Peter's mom because they're drawn similarly. They kind of look like wild thornberries also. But she says Peter says something like that Jason mentioned of just like, oh yeah, well, there's a lot of things you don't know. And so just in that line is hinting at like, yeah, we're gay, you know, we're partners, but we're not out to you in this dynamic, in this family setting. That alone in and of itself is so hard and so heavy. And it's just like in a one liner at that family gathering, where Mr. Simmons is clearly just grasping at straws to pull all of them together in this nice, peaceful way. And they just are at each other's throats kind of in that scene. But yeah, I think too, also to back up further, like at the beginning, I think it is Mr. Simmons in the play is sort of talking to himself about like his perfect idea of the Thanksgiving, that which is he's posturing at it through the school play with all these kids, which is kind of weird. In its own way, but he says, yeah, like the true meaning of Thanksgiving, which I wrote a little note that says, LOL, like Christmas, because what is the true meaning of Thanksgiving? He's kind of saying it as if like, you know, everyone talks about the true meaning of Christmas, and it's rewritten in this way of the true meaning of Thanksgiving is to be grateful for your family, no matter what, and be thankful that you know, have a family, that you have food on the table, that, you know, let's forget about the colonial nightmare and genocide and that aspect completely and pretend that everything was good and peaceful between pilgrims and Native Americans. Let's just put that aside. And the true meaning of this is to just be thankful no matter what. But this is showing you that, like, no, there's truly, you know, heavy, bad in anyone's family or in maybe in particular kids who are watching this that are relating to it, and that like neglect and abuse and all of that is inexcusable, unforgivable, and everything. It's not okay if you're a kid in a family like a dysfunctional family like Helga, but yet it's sort of trying to get at, yeah, poking holes in that and like, well, what is this perfect structure and what? And it's so weird in society we have this ideal of the perfect family, it's heteronormative, just like the perfect Christmas, and all of that is so performative. So I just wanted to back up to that point of the holiday, I guess.
Cody, I wanted to zoom over to the play and the Mayflower stuff. Did you have another point before we get there?
Sure. Wow. It's almost like you host other podcasts. Yeah.
A producer to the end, man. Wow. Amazing.
That's true. He's good at what he does. Yeah. I really quick. I mean, this, watching the Simmons bit, I mean, this is arguably, or I guess inarguably, as much his episode as anybody else's. And I can't remember if we have like a My Dinner with Simmons kind of episode where it's just in his dining room for an entire episode. My memory of later seasons is murky, or maybe it's just the spicy bean talking, but we'll find that out sooner or later. But yeah, really more so just like supporting backing what Emily just said, which I think is pretty spot on. You know, this, we've seen episodes before on the show where we kind of play with the, not so much a debate, but like the idea of being with the family that you've chosen, or like that you choose to spend time with versus the family that you kind of get stuck with. And this episode is a great example of the sort of, you know, the interjection of like, but wait, when, you know, certain, you know, within certain institutions, when those become relevant, or with, you know, within certain holiday trappings, like you gotta idealize the situation or really do whatever you got to do to like make that time together work, you know, again, whether it's, you know, a partner you've chosen or a family that you've been born into or what have you. So the fact that we get a bunch of different flavors of that, and the fact that it all kind of culminates in Simmons's dining room is, I think, a really, a nice thing to add, to this kind of episode. And I guess I should say, like, idealize or get through it any way you can, whether you're thankful for anything or not. I guess this, to Harry's point, this episode would argue that, you know, you should always be thankful for something. Your mileage may vary with that idea. But yeah, I think that's all I really wanted to say about that, Jason.
Well, thank you. Great points all around. But I did, like, one of the things that it's the, one of the first things, and one of the funniest things that appears in this episode is that at first the play, which is traditional, like in 1620, the settlers landed and made friends with the Indians and et cetera, all this, like all the, everything that you're taught in elementary school. And that play just goes all to hell. Like it is a failure on every level. Mr. Simmons keeps pushing through it and it ends up heartwarming with the, you know, I think Arnold calls it a, wonderfully diverse or like surprisingly diverse, set of people. And it's just like, him and Rhonda and Harold. It's just, anyway.
I think Rhonda is biracial, right? But she is the only quote unquote diverse person there. Which it's is just all the white kids. Otherwise.
It's a very funny line. And I think if I'm like looking at it through 2022 eyes, I think the writers and animators and everybody who worked on this episode must have known, like, yeah, we're not going to be able to play it straight and like have these kids have a good, like pretty clean, straightforward traditional play. We're going to like tweak it a little bit, but we're not going to like totally lampoon the concept because we need something that kids are going to recognize as something that, you know, might happen in their school or that they might have been exposed to in the past. But I love that it goes to a mess. Like it's a success and people like it and stuff, but it's just a failure at every level. Harold is hungry in every scene and they're missing the maze and stuff. And then later in the episode, when Helga and Arnold meet on the dock and they're trying to find something to be thankful for, something that's like, you know, silver lining type stuff, Arnold looks up, he's like, it's a sign. And the Mayflower reconstruction is coming through and it just tanks. It's just the funniest moment in the episode that it just capsizes completely. And again, like 2022 eyes, got to think the people who made this show were like, we can't have like the Mayflower come through as a sign of victory and a sign of like comfort and justice, right? We have to tweak it somehow to make it like, this isn't a symbol of good. This isn't something that's right. Like a good sign coming through. Right.
We can't have Gertie like commandeering the ship and zooming past Arnold and Helga and be like, see, I found the meaning of Thanksgiving for you, my grandson. Like that just would not. Well, it would play just right, not as well.
You jest, but like that's exactly where I thought it was going to go for a moment. And then it Hey Arnold did it. And it's like, okay, we saved it from being like super cheesy and stuff. And I just love that like Emily was saying, like we're not ignoring completely the whole settler colonialist myth, but we are saying like it is a factor. It is an element of how Thanksgiving is celebrated, specifically in North America. It is something you will see. Also, we think it's kind of there we go. Like, let's get on with this small story that we're trying to tell about kids finding meaning in Thanksgiving.
Well, and it aligns so well with the tension at the heart of this episode, right? And it's so like, it's almost like literary, the opening to this, because it's like we get from the very first moment of this episode, things are not right. They're off kilter. They're tense, right? Here we get this performance and the performance is breaking down and Simmons is being weird. And I think we're kind of supposed to see it that way. He's dressed up as a giant turkey, which first of all, lol. And then like also he's like, and we've seen this before from him, but he's like very tense and he's very much like, you guys have to get this right. Like it would mean so much to me. Like you got to get it all right. And like, it's a school play about Thanksgiving and it's cheesy and silly, Simmons. It's like, get over it.
But and like, these kids are like waiting for it to be over so that they can go on Thanksgiving break. Right. You know, they're not there because they want to be.
They're fooling
and
around.
And they're having
right?
a blast watching it. Like and the kids in the audience are howling with laughter.
That
it could be
down.
Such a fun time at
Experience.
School.
That's what. Simmons will not see any of that, right? Like he is fully like, no, this has to be right. Like he's in his full dance mom, like, mode. And I really think like as a sort of like play within a play, that's such a smart decision right from the top, right? Because it's like, look, like it is about the pressure that you're feeling right now. It is about the fact that you need to get this right. And the fact that that pressure is imposed upon you from the outside, right? Like Simmons has internalized this idea about what it should be. And it stops him from seeing what it is or what it could be. And ultimately that's his character arc, right? Is he is able to get over this, but just like the profundity of having like first that performance and then Simmons has to do another much higher stakes, much sadder performance when he is literally in the closet for his partner's mom. Right. And I think you're right, Emily. Like, I think that is his partner's mom and like, he is fully
they're
like
both blonde.
Yeah. And he's fully hiding who he is on behalf of his partner who doesn't seem to want to know that he's in a relationship with this man. And it's like, then you think about that and you extrapolate it back to like Simmons pretending to have a nice Thanksgiving with his students so that he doesn't have to think about the fact that like he's living a lie with his partner on behalf of his partner. And it's like, this is an insanely sad thing for a children's show to be playing in and with. And like, it's that tension is like, I think that it's really important and really not a mistake or a coincidence that it's a Thanksgiving episode, right? Like the fact that that tension is also sort of symbolic of the tension that Americans have with Thanksgiving in general is like an important part of it, right? And I really think that this episode is sort of connecting those dots between sort of like the insidious nature of Thanksgiving itself to the sort of like heteronormative practices and traditions that have come to be associated with it and the sort of psychic harm and pressure that inflicts on people and families. And it gets to this place where we get people like Arnold and Helga who like the entire operating system of the institution is to make these people feel alienated and less than because they don't possess something. Right. And it's like that is such a hateful thing that is so true to actually how these institutions tend to go. And then to be able to find the optimism in it anyway. Right. The way Simmons says about Arnold. And it's like, but like the very fact that they don't possess these things allows Helga and Arnold to bond and empathize with one another. And it allows them to find meaning within that or outside of that. It's really, really something. It's a rich episode. There's a lot of stuff happening in it, I think.
This isn't a point so much as a question that what you were saying brought up for me, Harry, which is like, so the whole like concept of Arnold is that he comes from a non-traditional home family structure, only a couple of blood relatives, no mom and dad, as Emily was saying. And I wonder if there was a version of this episode, not necessarily like made, but concepted, where it was just Arnold coming to terms and trying to figure out how to deal with his dissatisfaction over his Thanksgiving. But then maybe it was realized that, oh, some of these same myths we need to bust, some of these same things we need to call out about the way Thanksgiving is traditionally celebrated are really well embodied in Helga's family because they're all in town. They all have food, but they are like the people in the actual family are incredibly, I guess like they are a facade for the happy family, right? Like Big Bob is exploiting his wife at every turn. Miriam is like accepting this constant abuse from her family and neglect from her family. Just like, again, very like unfortunately real things about American domestic life that just happened from the socioeconomic conditions that people are crushed under, read that article that Hannah Borenstein wrote for Slate about Harold, because that's informing a lot of my take about this. But like, just the idea that Helga's family should, in every other circumstance, have a good, clean, fun Thanksgiving. But Helga, being who she is the holdup. She literally says, like, I don't have anything to be thankful for. She's not just quiet at dinner. She's loudly against what her family is doing because it is a puppetry version of what Thanksgiving should be. So when I think about, like, why there are two protagonists in this episode and why they're both equally compelling, to me that is, like, it's because Arnold already has a non-traditional version of that, and Helga is, like, her traditional version is still, like, hollow, right? It's still not full of the meaning that either of them are looking for.
That's a really good point. And with me not having a conscious memory of this episode, I was kind of thinking about that too, of like, oh, is this a Thanksgiving episode from reading the overly long plot synopsis on Wikipedia? Like, I know that Helga and Arnold are going to be kind of like co-leading us through this episode, but like, is this going to become something that gets into the Arnold like backstory about his parents, how he got to be kind of where he is with his current family dynamic? And I know that there are late, I have semi-vivid memories of just episodes that exist that we'll get into later on that are more specially devoted to Arnold, this is what happened to your parents, and those will be fun, heavy episodes for us to to tackle, I'm sure. But yeah, I think, not to like overly speculate or, you know, cross too far into artistic territories, but I imagine that's a conversation they must have had quite a bit. And like, honestly, why the complementary relationship between Arnold and Helga works so well is because, you know, Arnold is without those two, like, you know, nuclear family figures. You know, he doesn't have his mother and his father, and the same sorts of, you know, getting to the point where, you know, Arnold feels that sense of neglect or like being an outsider because of that fact, you can ultimately get, you know, you can take a different but similar path to get there with Helga, right? In her family setup, where she does feel neglected by these parents who are there, like living literally within the same house as her. So that is, yeah, they set themselves up for that pretty well. And like, the relationship works obviously extremely well over the course of this series. But I'm a little curious to know just like how many of those little bumps in the road happen. We're like, let's kick this can down the road because we could just make this another, you know, all-timer Helga episode. But yeah, more on Arnold's parents in the future for sure.
I'm really glad that you brought that up, Jason, because I think that like, it's so important for so many reasons that this becomes sort of a communal episode, or that like specifically the reason why Helga and Arnold have the arcs that they do is because they find it in each other, and the way that that parallels the Christmas episode as well, right? Like, to the point where even Emily, as you pointed out, like there's an exact like parallel where Arnold says Happy Thanksgiving, where Helga said Merry Christmas. They sort of find what there is to appreciate about themselves in one another, which is so important, right? Because like that is like kind of one of the big overarching ideas of the show, right? Is that like Helga finds herself through her love of Arnold. And that happens sort of in reverse here, where Arnold comes to appreciate what he's got in comparison to both Simmons and Helga. And sort of even beyond that, they come to appreciate one another and themselves because they can relate in this way, right? Like there's a really great, I think my favorite part of this episode is just that middle act where Helga and Arnold are together and they're just depressed together on the docks, because it's such a different vibe from what we usually get from them, because they're outside of the public sphere where they both have to sort of perform. And Arnold is not being as optimistic as he could, as he usually is, even though he's trying to be. And Helga is not being sharp with Arnold, even though, again, she's kind of trying to be. But that sort of breakdown and that overlap between their two identities, it helps them get to where they get at the end of this episode. And I think that there's something really important in Hey Arnold in general and in this episode about the fact that like you find out about yourself, and you find what you need to know and the tools that you need to have through other people, right? Like through the relationships that you grow and through what you see in other people. So like, I think that Arnold and Helga having that moment and coming to appreciate each other, and then sort of like further subliminating that through their understanding of Simmons is like really important, right? Like I think it's really like crucial that Thanksgiving becomes something that is like truly about the other people in your life. And that being sort of like one of the big things that they take away, especially because like they are both kids who have been so, they have been forced to be so mature before their time, right? And I think that their mutual recognition of that fact, by Simmons telling them that is really important too. And I really, really like that aspect of it. It's much more than if it had been like just an Arnold episode or just a Helga episode. I think the interpersonal connection there is really important.
Yeah, for sure. Because what I want to say to that point is when Arnold and Helga are looking in Mr. Simmons' window, because that's where their depressed walk brought them to, like, let's find out what the perfect family is like. Helga, I wrote down, she like looks in the window and says to Arnold, like, wow, they look so happy and normal. And as soon as they get in there, that disillusionment begins. They're like, oh, there actually isn't a happy, normal family that maybe does exist, maybe not, but certainly even in the person we thought was like the exemplary version of what a happy, normal family would look like, that isn't the case. It, even if you do have a, you know, more functional, more quote unquote traditional and normal family in our, the way our society sets that up, then you still have your own issues within that family, even if it is like a very happy and perfectly, you know, quote unquote normal or type of family. So I think that spell is what breaks them right then and there, and especially in the kitchen. And I do kind of want to just read the one line from Helga, because I love it so much. I had to go back and watch it again because her read is amazing. But Helga's just going basically like, man, what a nightmare. It's worse than my family. And Arnold's like, it's worse than both our families put together. And then Helga goes off and goes, Simmons knocks himself out making this meal, and then they're all out there sitting around on their butts, and they can't even put aside their petty little differences and be thankful for crying out loud. And then Arnold goes off again, and he's just like, his eyes open wide when he realizes that he's saying, oh yeah, I guess like this means a lot to him, and so maybe we should go back to our families and do what we can to help show them that this can mean a lot, or that they at least mean a lot to us.
He says, but like, anyway, they can't even go along with a stupid tradition or something like that. And it's like, boy, you're looking at a mirror.
Well, and Helga, precociously as always, literally just spells it out at that point. She says, it's kind of close to home, doesn't it? And it's like,
yeah,
man, Helga, he didn't have to twist the knife.
Good character.
Truly, if this episode has taught me anything, it's that the only happy, normal family that there is the one you're listening to. The studio audience goes, aw.
It's a family with no dads, no moms, no aunts, no uncles, all kids, baby.
Sometimes just a family vibes. Can just be four podcasters.
You can make that, put it on a shirt. I will not wear it, but I would appreciate it existing. I've got one final, just as we kind of de-escalate from this great discourse, potentially again, a little heavy discourse, as we like to tap into every now and again, de-escalate it with kind of a softball question. And also maybe to torture myself a little bit, because I haven't eaten anything yet today. I really got to order some food, but go to Thanksgiving, like when you think of Thanksgiving and the thing you're most excited to eat, like what do y'all trend towards? I feel like this is a famous like internet BuzzFeed quiz kind of question, but just like for me, it's mashed potatoes. No, honestly, no matter if it's like Thanksgiving, like a Christmas meal, Easter, anything like that, just the main event for me is mashed potatoes. I can't tell you why necessarily. Gravy is good. Honestly, my preference, and maybe I'm a psychopath for saying this, just like heavily buttered, heavily salted, peppered mashed potatoes.
The
like,
dry again, potatoes, huh?
I mean, they're wet, just like with butter. again, gravy is good every so often, you know, a nice little change as a treat. But
it seems like what you're looking forward to eating is butter, and the mashed potatoes are just sort of a conveyance device for you.
And?
I'm glad Cody's finally outing himself as a psychopath on Stupid's Pod. The clear psychopath of us all.
Look, do I have to put another quiz following this episode tweet where it's like, am I a normal person for liking The National or not? And it turns out I was a normal person. So if I'm one for two, that's fine. But I don't know. Emily, what are your thoughts on this? What do you go for at mealtime?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked this because I was thinking about it in preparation for this episode. My favorite part of Thanksgiving as far as food goes is always stuffing, but I especially like just straight up stovetop stuffing. I think that's the full brand name. This is not sponsored by them. It's just like,
so it doesn't matter if we get it right or not.
Good savory flavor to it, a lot of good salts or something, I don't know. But then you can put the gravy on it. And yeah, I'm honestly a little disappointed whenever it's like actually good homemade stuffing because I just love the regular out of the box flavor. And so if that makes me a psychopath, so be it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
It's like when you want Kraft mac and cheese and somebody brings you like three cheese, Parmigiano Reggiano version of, and it's like, yeah, it's good.
No, actually, good. I wanted the one where the cheese is a powder. Can you give me that one, please?
I gotta say, Thanksgiving dinner, first thing I'm going for is the sweet potatoes with melted marshmallows on top. And I've understood that to not be a favorite of many people. When I bring that up to other people, they're like, oh, really? Either they've never tried it or they don't like it. I refute that entirely. It is the best part of the meal all the time, if that's busy. And usually that is, if I'm like, plates are going around and I've got to select. Then I wait for stuffing. Stuffing is the next thing. It's potatoes. They're a little much for like just slopping into your mouth. It gets pretty full pretty quick. Stuffing, ironically, not that filling. It is just very, very bread. And you like Emily said, you can garnish it with anything you like. So it's those two things, the sweet and the savory. But always, always the first thing I'm trying is the sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top. I've never learned how to make it myself. I've been to many a Thanksgiving that wasn't at my own family's. And I don't know why I've never figured out how to
do you know how to make sweet potatoes?
I assume it takes a long time and going to the ground and watering and stuff.
Right. Yeah. They're a seasonal vegetable.
Right.
I love all Thanksgiving foods. I guess my answer would be gravy because, I put that on all of the Thanksgiving foods. I love squash. I'm a huge fan of squash. So that would be number two, but I put it on the squash. I put it on the mashed potatoes. I put it on the stuffing. I put it on the cranberry sauce. I put it on whatever vegetables I have. I want like a slurry, a soup for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And it makes it go down your gob easier and you can eat more faster because it's
like
slippery.
It's like a suicide run. What do they call
exactly.
that when you do one squirt of every type of soda at the fountain? It's
exactly
but
like
with...
that. Except it's just like one part food, three parts gravy. I don't even need to see the food underneath the gravy. I just want a spoon and to go at it. I love it. I'm crazy about it. And then also whenever we have Thanksgiving, I make sandwiches with the turkey and the cranberry for like a week afterwards. And that's the bomb.
Yes.
That's extremely good. Yeah.
Dang.
How about you, Cody?
I'm so hungry. I'm sticking by mashed potatoes. And honestly,
yeah, buttery mashed potatoes.
And honestly, the fact hearing Harry's response, it makes it all the more sense that, you know, mine being in almost direct opposition to or being the exact opposite of his, automatically that makes me a psychopath because I'm not on a team gravy soup.
Yeah, the guy who drinks gravy
is
not
thinking,
the psychopath.
Everything we just each of us described means we're 4 for 4 psychopaths on the pod.
Let's go.
Gravy on cranberries, potatoes that are dry, marshmallows on top of potatoes, stovetop stuffing. I don't know.
We don't know about this. Nobody's perfect. I will say, I take some umbrage at Harry saying Thanksgiving is the worst holiday something like that. And then I love all Thanksgiving food.
But Thanksgiving food is amazing.
I don't know.
You have to see family on Thanksgiving.
Ouch.
Yikes.
You know what we haven't mentioned as well is that Jason, you have a very great, similar to Thanksgiving, but more about friends hanging out type of holiday of our own. That's, you know, do you want to tell the listener what that is?
Well, figure out the okay. So every year, 1 week after a traditional Western European Easter is Orthodox Easter, and Greek people among the Greek Orthodox Church celebrate it then too. It is leg of lamb, it is tzatziki, it is all the wonderful fixings of Greek cuisine and delicatessen you can imagine. And I have loved for the last several years putting together this event, commonly known, though not branded yet, as Greaster or Greek Easter. It started, honestly, when I called it that, I said it in jest because it's a gross sounding name. It sounds like you're making something greasy on Easter, but you are, and it's delicious. You just got to be part of it. Hit me up if you want. I can order some more lamb for next year, but we've missed it because it is now, of course, November. It is currently Thanksgiving while we're talking about this and while we're releasing it. So just put your name in the hat and we'll get you in for next year.
Man, what if we made that like we can cut this out if this is too risque, but man, what if we did like a Stoop Kids raffle? Just like, hey, follow us, retweet. You can be put in a drawing to join Jason at his house for Greaster.
Yeah, I'd host you.
And you do so well at hosting in many types of capacities, but shout out to Greaster, shout out to Giannis Antetokounmpo, please come on the pod. Any other threads that we didn't get to, shout outs from you all now that we're all chomping at the bit to eat more of this food? Yummy, yummy.
Yeah, shout out to Greaster. That's why we had to have Jason on this episode, because I think Greaster, or this Thanksgiving episode, is the closest we get in the Arnold universe to a Greaster. So yeah, shout out there. Shout out to Helga's, so many of her lines in this episode, but I love when she just sits at the Pataki family dinner and she goes, or family Thanksgiving, and she goes, "I'm thankful for absolutely nothing." And she does the arms crossed and you're like, oh, yeah. This is such a good mic drop moment. And then she gets sent to her room. But, and then also the flyers that Olga makes when Helga's gone missing make me laugh so hard, because they do one quick close up of the flyer and Olga also is like running down the stairs. The flyers are everywhere flying around her, and they do a close up of the flyer. It's a picture where Helga again has like her arms crossed. Olga is like posing like a model, and the underneath it, it says "Missing award winning Olga Pataki sister." Which, like, it doesn't even say Helga on it. It just calls them out as like a great picture of Olga. So that's super funny. Shout out to Grandma at the very end going, "Oh, Arnold, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without fireworks." And I like that kind of signs off the episode of fireworks on the roof, you know, to end this very neatly wrapped up Thanksgiving, traditional Thanksgiving episode. And then shout out to Jason for saying that they Hey Arnolded it, because I want to use that as a verb now. That's great. Thank you for being on, Jason.
Trademark behind it. Yeah, thank you for having me on. I want to point out in that same shot where Olga is handing, I think, Big Bob, maybe Miriam, the poster that she's designed, she's all a mess. She's coming down the stairs just crying and whining. And just for like, if you listen in the background, there's an almost like supersonic squeak she's doing as like in desperation or whatever. It's an incredible vocal performance from Olga's actress in this episode, because she's just unhinged. Like most stuff you can't even hear. I didn't notice it till the second time watching it. Is a very, very good line read, because it doesn't sound like a line read at all. It's just like, for like way up there. But my actual shout outs, I'm not going to just piggyback on Emily's. My shout outs are this episode. Did the other holiday episodes and specials not start with the theme song? Did they just lead right in?
Did Christmas start that doesn't. Way?
Yep. Okay. No, Arnold's yeah. Christmas just goes right in.
Because that's a really nice...
Oh, yeah, it's the twinkling like theme, the Christmas theme.
I just really like that touch. It makes me feel like I'm no longer... Like there's no barrier between me and the start of the story anymore. It's not like I have time to reset or anything. Just like... By routine, it's nice to have that broken a little bit. I really like when Arnold suggests that they go to Mr. Simmons' Thanksgiving after they've had their moment on the dock, and Helga says, "What a stupid idea!" All right.
Well, that was my shout out too, because like clearly what happens is it's like she says, "What a stupid idea," and then Arnold takes her hand, and she's like, okay, because she's clearly just like, excited to be holding Arnold's hand. Oh man, that's such a cute moment. It's great.
I loved that. There is, let's see. I like how Hey Arnold takes time to show us the city a little bit. There's right after he says, you know, Happy Thanksgiving, Helga at her place. Like we could just like fade to the rooftop at Sunset Arms, but we actually get like, I don't know, another 5-10 seconds of him walking down the street and some music and stuff. And we just see like unnecessarily storyboarded and animated scenes of him just walking through the town. I think that's one of the things that I love most about the show is how much it builds and how like I recognize those streets, even if they're not essential to the plot. There is one last thing that I wanted to bring up, and Harry has for some reason left the recording, so he doesn't get to enjoy this little moment. But there's right. Okay, he's back. There is right when Arnold is originally complaining to Gerald about like why he doesn't like Thanksgiving at his house. He's like, we have all had to go up on the roof and my grandma doesn't understand that it's not 4th of July. And the way that he says freezing stuck in my head like crazy. And I actually have it queued up so that you, listener, and you, hosts, can hear. I want you to listen very carefully and tell me if it sounds as weird to you as it sounds to me.
Even though it's freezing.
Did that sound weird?
Yes.
It sounds like Natasha Lyonne.
Freezing. I was going to say it's an East Coast accent all of a sudden.
Let's give one more listen to it because it sounds like he's added a couple syllables.
Even though it's freezing.
Freezing. I just can't get that out of my mind.
It sounds like Pamela Adlon.
It's like...
Watch Russian Doll Season 2 on Netflix right now.
Streaming now. that's all that I got.
That's very good. Shout outs to Jason for being so polite when he was describing Greaster and calling it Western European Easter instead of what he usually does, which is call it profligate Easter, which I've never appreciated, but that is one interpretation. And yeah, I think that was my big shout out was definitely that cute little Arnold Helga moment. We did get one shout out also to Helga waxing amorous about Arnold, which happens early on when she leaves the house. She says like, oh, this is like, at least you're the one thing I got going for me. And then they subvert expectations because instead of Brainy overhearing her and walking into frame, it's Arnold himself, which is a really good and sort of like high intensity moment for me. So shout outs to that. What a great episode.
What a great episode. What a great discussion, if I do say so myself. And what a great guest spot, Jason, donning the microphone once again.
It's champing?
Doming the microphone.
Championing the microphone once again. He's so great at it. Jason, thank you so much for being here today. If you wouldn't mind telling us, where can people find you? And is there anything that you would like to plug, any projects and other endeavors you're a part of that you would like to shout out?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Cody. You can find me on Twitter at Nintendoofus. It'll show up if you start to type that. I also make a couple of other podcasts, one of which with two of the hosts of this show is called Trilove. It's a podcast where we talk about movies we saw or people we met at the Trilon Cinema, a little cinema that we love here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The other one is with my friend Matt on the MinMax Network. It is called Crossfade, the Dueling Album Review Show. It is not about the 90s. Band Crossfade, unfortunately, but maybe we'll talk about them sometime. Check both of those out, and you can find all that kind of stuff on my Twitter. And I have a website, jasondaffness.com or veggietales.exposed or weenie.zone. I have a couple of fun domains for that one. Just check it out. Thank you so much, guys, for having me on. It's been a blast.
It has been. I forgot that your website was set up that way. We'll get our producer to include all of those redirectables in the show notes. So it'll just be like three URLs in a row taking you to the same place. We'll figure that out later off mic. But I do want to say we're very thankful for those listening to this episode, to this podcast, whether it's this episode or not. So thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson. You can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Hey, how long was Dan's last episode?
I was looking this up while we were recording because I wanted to make sure... Now, I haven't released the episode with Dan on it where he was contending about the length. His is not in one. Okay, so the longest guest episode we've had yet was 48A Arnold's Room, 48B Helga versus Big Patty with Drew Tenenbaum. And that came in at 1 hour, 10 minutes. I think we might have eclipsed that one unless we get some real chopping down.
Let's
here.
Go.
Dan has a lot longer to go.
You're not there yet, but we are thankful for your valiant, if doomed, attempts. I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
Thank you to the listener. Thank you to the Soup Kids and Super Producer / guest. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Greaster. And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
That's right. Echoing those sentiments. Happy 4th of July. Happy Thanksgiving. You know what I mean. Happy day to you all.